Hi, welcome to the Journey to a Dream podcast. It's brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance and also supported by the Andreas Racing Association here on the Isle of Man. We've been talking a lot to some of the Manx Grand Prix newcomers for 2025 recently. Today, we're going to hear from someone who was a newcomer last year. But as you'll hear, honestly, it was incredible that he even made it to the start line. And this year, he is planning to be there again and he's doing something quite incredible given where he lives.
So I'm Anthony Stevens. I'm originally a New Zealander. I now live in Australia, Victoria in Australia. Yeah, I'm over here, second year of the Manx Grand Prix, and I've just completed the Southern 100 for the second time. Yeah, so that's where I'm about at.
So we've had Southern 100, as we're speaking, was just last week, and basically you're staying here until the Manx. So that is quite a chunk of time to spend here, isn't it? How have you worked that all out?
It's the best way to do it because flying back to Australia, back and forwards, it's cost prohibitive. So it's actually easier to not go to work and yeah, stay here for the 5 or 6 weeks. But yeah, just the flights outweigh it. So,
and I guess the question has to be then, what is it that drew you to racing on the Isle of Man?
I don't know. I think it stems back from being a kid. You see it on TV, and there's a lot of very good road races have come out of New Zealand. It's always been in the back of my mind, and always want to do it, and I've hunted hard for years about it. And yeah, finally, I put an entry in for as a newcomer last year. Ended up being here, and last year was a bit of a bittersweet sort of situation. I had a big crash at the Southern 100 to the lead up of the Manx last year and sort of wrote myself off pretty good. And we had 6 weeks to sort of get ourselves together and put ourselves in, yeah, hyperbaric chamber, physiotherapist. We should have to give a big mention to Dave Downey at the hyperbaric chamber and Kath Davis, my physio. Without her, I wouldn't have actually even got on the line. So, yeah, no, it was a tough gig, but to be back here this year, I think it's, yeah, I needed to be back here this year. So.
And I just wonder from a point of view of, obviously, you went through that incident at the Southern. I mean, there must have been times where you thought that the Manx Grand Prix just physically couldn't happen.
Yeah, in hospital, with the injuries I had, they were pretty bad. It was like, I'm going home. And a few sort of people said to me, it's like, it's 6 weeks away. It's amazing what can happen. And yeah, talked to the right people introduced me to the other people, and we made it happen. And basically, Kath said to me, she said, you need to be walking in 3 weeks if you're going to be doing this. So we did everything we could, and 3 weeks I was walking. So, yeah, and that was with a broken tibia and fibula and kneecap and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I'm forever in debt to Dave Downey and Kath Davis for what they done last year.
And I tell you what, it really gives you a sense of just what mental determination can do as well and how important that is on the road to recovery.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I feel you can put your mind to anything. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. And that was one of those situations. And that's probably the biggest thing I've ever done in life, like putting my mind to it to make it happen. Yeah, we got there. Look, we didn't go fast last year at the Manx. We just wanted to qualify. That was my goal, was just to even qualify, and we did that. Obviously, the weather didn't help things last year. Like, it was a disaster. But, yeah, we competed. We weren't last. That was the main thing. So, yeah, no, it was good.
And you obviously, you've been back to the Southern this year?
Yeah, Southern this year. Didn't start off too good. We had bike issues on the second lap of practice, and at that stage, I sort of thought it was all over. Two blokes, Rob Colvin and Rob Brew, they put a bike together for me that night, and we were able to get out for the next qualifying, and we qualified, and we did all right, considering I'd never looked at this bike or never seen this bike, and it was still a rolling chassis the night before. So big thanks to those two. And yeah, we got through the week and sort of put me head back into the road racing sort of game again.
From a point of view of, obviously, you went through that awful incident in 2024. From a mental point of view, getting back on that start line, going around the Balang course, how did you find that?
I remember on my warm-up lap, where I crashed was at Great Meadow. I just give it the bird when I went through and, yeah, carried on my way. It didn't faze me. I don't think it fazed me at all. You haven't got time to even be worried about it. Your mind's 100% on the game there. You haven't got time to be thinking about what's happened in the past.
Okay, well, just take us right back then, because clearly you've grown up with an interest, a passion for bikes. Was that something inherited in the family, or is it just something that you found on your own?
Yeah, I think it's inherited in the family. Yeah, we're all sort of petrol heads in our family. So I started junior road racing when I was about 11 or 12 years old, and I really haven't stopped. 36 now, and it's ruled my life year on, year out.
Do you ever think about what you've sacrificed because of this passion?
Yep. Yeah, 100%. Lots of things. Yeah, relationships and other things I could have went and done and maybe have, you know, went and seen. But No real regrets, really.
And if you hadn't gone down this road, where do you think you would be? Work-wise and whatever, what do you do?
So I'm a self-employed motorbike mechanic. So I've been a motorbike mechanic since I left school. And, I think I probably would have maybe had a better job, a better paying job, that's for sure. Bikes were, even at school, like, all was just bikes. And I should have put more emphasis into actually going to school and maybe making a better career out of myself. But, like I said, no regrets on what I'd done. It's taken me where I am now, and yeah.
And how have your family felt about all of this?
I don't know. I don't think my mum's too impressed, but yeah, no, Dad supported me last year. He can't be here this year. He's actually getting a hip replacement. So he can't be here, which is a bit of a shame. But I know they support me, so that's the main thing.
And do you know what I find fascinating? So we talked about the fact, obviously, you came over for the Southern, you're staying here for the Manx. And I guess the question really is, how you make that happen on a practical level. What are you doing every day? Are you trying to do some work over here? How is it all going?
Yeah, well, it's a bit hard to do some work over here, so I've just basically treated it as a bit of a holiday. Like, I was in Cadwell Park on Monday and Tuesday, so it was good to get off the island and go over there and do something else. And I plan on trying to get back to the UK and do some miles over there again. But before you know it, like, time flies.
Really does. So where are you staying at the moment?
I'm down in Port Erin at the moment. So I'm in a little camper and I'm living out of that, and yeah, a good view to wake up in the morning. So it's good over here.
You've already alluded to the fact that obviously you've got those friendships, those connections, which really helped you during the Southern. And there is such a passion, I think, for people who genuinely just want to come over here and experience road racing over here. And you really are giving it your all.
Definitely sort of pinch myself that I'm here doing it, because obviously there's a lot of people that, you know, aren't in the position to do it. Plus I've got all... back home, I've got some really good people behind me that, you know, I'm doing it for them as well. Like, they would love to do it, but obviously they're either a different age or whatever's going on, and they love it. So I do feel I'm doing it for a lot of people as well.
So when did you put your entry for the MGP in? For the first one? Let's talk about your first one.
Back 20... Geez, I got to think. Yeah, so 23, the Expressions of Interest went out. And I put it in and gave everything they sort of needed, and I didn't think anything of it. And... a good mate of mine, we're in a taxi going somewhere, and I got the email to say that, you know, you've been accepted for the thing. I was sort of like, far out. And the mate was with me, very good friend of mine. He'd never been out of, like, the state of where we live in Australia, and he said, I'm going with you. And so his first ever time he's on a plane was to the Isle of Man.
No way.
Never been out of Australia, yeah. So him and another good mate of mine, they... catch the big bird over here, and he loved it. So,
and in terms of how you were able to prepare for the MGB, because obviously we know there are lots of newcomer events, but I mean, it's a bit prohibitive when you live on the other side of the world, I guess.
So, and that's what coming into the doing the Southern 100 was. So the newcomer weekend was the weekend of, you know, when the Southern 100 started, and I thought, well, hey, killed two birds with one stone here. So I did the newcomer weekend, which was priceless, was valuable, was really good. And yeah, that Sunday or on the Monday we did the Southern. So luckily, I didn't have to come back for the two newcomer weekends. We did everything in that first week, and Milky helped me out as well. So, yeah, we crammed a lot in.
And I know, obviously, the circumstances surrounding that your first MGP weren't ideal because of those injuries. But is there something that was completely unexpected that you actually thought, oh, I almost wish I had known about that?
Yeah, as silly as it sounds, I think with the circumstances that happened, I was injured, so I couldn't give... everything I had. And I think it actually did a world of... I didn't rush into it like a bull in a gate. I had time to process what was going on. So, I don't know. I think, as silly as it sounds, it worked out for what it was. And just going back around there now and driving around, it's like, you know, I had perspective of that and bits and pieces, so...
How difficult is it to go round the course at a normal speed in a car when you've gone round as quick as you have done?
Well, the fact that you're on there, you know, you're on one side of the road, and as long as you knew where you, well, know where you're going and where you are on the track, but as soon as you put the helmet on and do a race, you know, you got the helmet on and you're on race line, the place just changes differently again. So that was probably the hardest thing I found. But yeah, there's no substitute of doing laps around this place in the car, just knowing where you are and where you've got to be. And
how well do you know the course in terms of the names and the corners and things like that?
Corner, like, I know where I am. I don't know the names of everything. A good mate of mine, Royce Rowe, over in Australia, he's raced here a couple of times. He actually said to me, he said, make your own names for the corners. And that helped so much. Like, I'd come to a corner and I'd name it something. And then I knew there, and I could go back and reference it. Like, yeah, that was, you know, such and such, or Crosby Leap or whatever. But names-wise, yeah, I can sit back and close my eyes and I can get myself around. But it's definitely not a place you could just rock up here a week before and expect that you're going to go fast. It's just not going to happen.
Was there ever any question about you coming back for MGP this year?
I had a bit of stuff going on back home, and when I got back, basically everything sort of settled back down, and I'd started a new job, and the bikes went on the back burner for about 3 months, and I didn't think much of it. And then after Christmas time, everything sort of things were coming good. My body was coming good as well. That's when it really, like, you know, we're going back. So from then on, it was sort of like, nah, we're putting entry in, you know, obviously get accepted again, we're coming back, so.
And we know how much it costs, particularly for somebody who's had to come from such a long way away. Where are you up to with sponsorship and things like that?
Sponsorship's good. Just actually, got another big sponsor who's just jumped on board, Trev's TT Tours. So he, Australian-based, he does a lot of tours from Australia side, brings them over here, and yeah, he's jumped on board, which is perfect timing for what we're doing. A lot of personal sponsors that would be here all day to sort of thank, and they know who they are.
And you're obviously not going to have your dad with you, but your friend who came last time, will he be here again?
No, unfortunately. So he's a farmer, and farming over in Australia is not going too well at the moment. Yeah, he won't be here, and there are some friends of mine coming from Tasmania, which will be good. So you're going to be their first Manx, and they might not know it yet, but they'll be carting my trolleys around and getting my bike to the line, and yeah, so they'll be here. And some of the friends, I've got a friend from Germany coming. He's actually Australian, originally Australian, and another Australian friend. So, yeah, I've got some good people in the circle.
And it is so important, isn't it? You have to have those people that you trust, particularly when we're thinking about things like pit stops and all of that. You have to have absolute confidence in who's around you.
Yeah, 100%. Last year we had a good crew. Last year was pretty good. But yeah, 100% needed confidence in everyone that's here.
And so when it comes to race days for you then, how do you get race ready, I suppose? Are you the sort of person who likes to have some time on your own? Do you like listen to some music? How does it work?
Just a bit of time on your own is good, but also like just getting things done, and I like being in the middle of things and knowing what's going on. And I probably need to learn to just let other people do their job, but to me that makes the time go quicker. And before you know it, like, right, we're ready to go. I think if I sat around and listen to music and watch time pass, I think it might actually not do me any good. So,
and when it comes to sort of fiddling around with the bike, because obviously you've got a lot of experience doing that, do you like being hands-on, or are you quite happy to leave other people to do that?
I prefer to do it myself, sort of oversee what's going on, because I'm the one that's on the bike. And that's, this year we've decided that we were originally, the plan here was to lease a bike and go through that, but I've actually bought my own bike over here. So I'm on my own in terms of that. Just felt that I'd sort of like to, it's me that makes a decision, basically.
So what have you got?
I've gone on an Aprilia 660, a Super Twin. So it's not the cheapest thing going around, and I didn't really budget to buy my own bike, but I think it's the best thing I've done.
And which races are you going to be in?
So I'll be in the Junior and, yeah, Super Twin. Do have an entry for the lightweight TT, but I haven't sourced a bike for that yet, so that's sort of up in the air. If it happens, it happens, but...
And I guess that's got to be an important part of it, isn't it? You've got to just be sort of focused on what you need to be on, but actually flexible enough to accept that some things might not happen.
100%. And it even goes back to last year. I remember stressing about licences and insurance and getting here. And I remember going through the sign-in for the Southern 100, and it just flowed. I'm like, why have I stressed for the last 3 months about, like, why am I stressing? I mean, it's just, things fall into place, and I think you just can't stress about things.
And that's a really interesting point. So we've been hearing from so many of the newcomers who are starting out for the MGP this year. And I guess if you had to give them any piece of advice, given your experience over the past 12 months or so, would it just be, don't worry about it?
Don't stress. The Manx Club are so accommodating, and everyone involved accommodating. They're not going to leave you high and dry. They'll make everything happen. As long as you've got your ducks in a row and everything's right, you'll be fine. I think definitely don't stress about it.
And have you got a personal goal this year?
I do. Basically, finish. Another thing, don't put your expectations too high, because as soon as you have those expectations too high, they get crushed. So just go, and my goal is just to be there, qualify, do what I've got to do. I think no point worrying about, you know, lap times and speed, it'll come. Yeah, the moment you stress about it, it's when your heart gets crushed. So.
And is MGP it for you? Have you got your sights on TT, perhaps?
Honestly, don't know. I think it's just seat time, and that's where I'm at. Obviously, the financial side of it, like coming from the other side of the world to do this, it's expensive. I think I honestly don't know what the future holds.
It must be really hard, though, when you are here. I mean, obviously, you're made friends and connections over here, but actually it must be quite isolating when you're sort of separated from everybody that you really know just to do this dream.
Oh, absolutely. Like, Good thing there's Facebook and phones. Like, imagine doing this 30 years ago. Like, you'd be, you know, I think you'd just end up at the pub. But it is isolating, like, you know, friends and family and stuff like that, and more my friends, and that's the hard bit. And I think you just got to, you work through it and go and do something, and before you know it, it's, you know, end of the day. So,
and when it comes to MGP, you're going to be moving to the paddock at Nevers Park?
Yeah, no, we'll move to the paddock. I think it'll be good down there, and at least I'm there and I can do my laps. I like to do my laps at night. Yeah, there'll be plenty to do.
How many laps do you reckon you've done of the TT course?
Worked it out. I think car laps, I've got a little car that cost me £300, and I think we've done about 4,500 miles in it. That was from last year and even this year. The car just doesn't get cold. We're always using it. And when I was injured last year, it was prime. I had the car to just drive around, and me and Dad were at night. Sometimes we'd come in at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. I could get 5 laps in during the night. It was good, and it was priceless. So,
and that's interesting. I'm sure I remember hearing somewhere that actually doing it at night when the visibility isn't quite as good can be really handy for some people in terms of learning the lines.
I can't remember who said it, but on a moonlit night, perfect. Like, you could even flick the lights off the car.
No, not that you do, obviously.
I do, but yeah. I think night time's the best because you're concentrating, because it's not, you haven't got cars in front of you. Yeah. Night time, I feel, is the best time to be doing it.
We talk a lot again about the importance of social media for promoting what you do, obviously, you know, promoting your sponsors as well, which is such a key part of this. How do you find that side of things?
Yeah, sort of lost without it. Same deal. Go back 30 years ago when we didn't have this. Like, we're so lucky to have these tools we've got now for sponsors and getting the message out there and what we're up to. And, you know, it's sort of be lost without social media.
I just had to ask you as well, you've got a nickname. Your nickname's Kev. Yeah. What? Explain that to me.
Oh, obviously, me being a Kiwi, I moved to Australia, and good old Australia, they'll nickname you anything. Like, you, anything they'll find, and some bloke just come up, oh, Kev the Kiwi. Oh, really? And it just stuck, and everywhere I go in the world, it's Kev the Kiwi. Like, it's stuck. Dare I say it, and I know my parents aren't impressed with it, but yeah. It's kind of what it is.
Well, you know, when we interview you over MGP, what it's going to be now, don't you? You absolutely know that. It's been a great insight into your story, and it's just, I think it's amazing that you are here. How much barbecued food have you eaten?
Not a lot, actually.
Oh, that's good. You're not into all Barbie stuff?
Nah, because we live in Australia, so. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
So what do you eat when you're sitting there in a camper van for day in, day out?
Oh, tinned fruit and tin fish.
Well, that sounds lovely.
We're on a budget here.
And ultimately, is there anything else on your bucket list when it comes to racing?
We're here. It doesn't get any better than what we're doing. Cabell Park the other day, I was like, oh, sweet, I've ticked that off. I've gone to Cabell Park, and I'm going to try and get to Donington, but this place just, it is it.
Have you booked your return ticket home yet?
Not yet.
You want to spend a November here, that's what it is,
yeah,
isn't
you
it?
You never know. You never know what's around the corner. I'm in no rush to get back home, so, yeah.
And I guess you've got a bike and a car. I mean, where do you put those?
Well, lucky bike and all that. I've got a dear friend out at Ramsey. He helps me with a lot of stuff, so, yeah, and everything will live out there.
Well, where can people keep up to date with how things are going for you?
So I've got a Facebook page, Kev Stevens Racing. So, yeah, if you want to like and subscribe to that, I think that's how you say it. Yeah, by all means, do that.
Well, we'll put those links on the podcast page. Thank you so much for taking the time to come in, and we wish you all the very best for this year.
No, thank you for having me. Thank you.
Anthony Stevens, or Kev the Kiwi, as we're all going to call him from now on. Thank you so much to him for coming in, and looking forward to seeing him again for MGP this year. And fingers crossed that it is a much, much smoother few weeks for him leading up to that event. I'll post the links to his social media on the podcast page, so do give him a follow. Journey to a Dream is brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance, and you can find out more about how you can get covered by visiting their website, kawasaki-insurance.co.uk. If you'd like to get in touch with the Andreas Racing Association, find out about the events happening over here. The link is on the podcast page. And if you'd like to get in touch with me, it's bethesby@manxradio.com. Until next time, take care.